let's stand for prayer. Again, this month's prayer comes from Psalm 119, 174 to 176. Let's pray. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. We have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not want to forget thy commandments. Amen. Our praise psalm today is from Psalm 22. It's more of a lengthy one.
Praise ye the Lord who do him fear. Him glorify all ye, all ye. The seed of Jacob, fear him on. Fear him that Israel's children be. For he despised not nor abhorred the afflicted misery, nor from him hid his face but heard. He him when he to him did cry. Within the congregation great, my praise shall be of thee. My mouth before them that him fear shall be preformed by me. The meek shall eat and shall be filled. They also praise shall give, shall give. Unto the Lord Yahweh that do, him seek, your heart shall ever live. All ends of the earth never shall and turn unto Yahweh the Lord. Of kindreds of the nations too, him shall homage, shall homage you. Because the kingdom to the Lord Yahweh doth appertain and his. Likewise among the nations he is governor, the governor. Earth's at one beat and worship shall all who go dust to dust he send, shall bow to him, not one enough his very own soul from death defend. A seed serveth due to him, unto the Lord it shall, before a generation, reckoned in ages, ages all. They shall come and they shall declare his truth and righteousness unto a people yet born dead. He hath done death, he hath done death.
It's amazing how when one person stumbles, lots of people stumble with them. But then, at the same time, if you keep going, you all pick each other back up. kind of something to be learned there. I think my favorite line out of here is that none of us can deliver ourselves from death. I think that that's the message I like the most out of this particular psalm, which probably will deal a lot with today in our Bible study. So. Psalm 119, the letter is Yod, or I. It's the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Normally pronounced Yod. Former times people pronounced it Jod. Sometimes people pronounce it Iod. And so there's three English letters that correspond to it. And we'll sing this to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, which I think we had last week too, so not a big mix we got going on here. Psalm 119, part 10, Yod. That's Amazing Grace.
Auld Lang Syne.
Let's do a hum.
Yeah, sure.
That messed
We've been
us all
planted
up.
With sure. the wrong tune.
Does anyone remember?
I know. There we go.
A shelter within thy tabernacle light. Forever will abide, and under covert of thy wings, with confidence me hide. For thou the vows that I did make, O Lord my God, did hear. Thou hast given me the of those thy name that fear. A life prolonged for many days thou to the king shalt give. Like many generations, thy years which he shall live.
Michael.
He in God's presence is forevermore shall have. O do thou truth and mercy both prepare that may him save. And so will I perpetually sing praise unto thy name, that having made my vows I may each day perform the same.
That would have been a good one to sing during our covenanting message. The very last line is pretty good. That's a good song. First time we've done that one. So it's coming out of the next section of the Psalter we've just finished up. Well, we'll go to our loose leaf pamphlet if you have it there. We're going to do the very first thing that Jesus says, and then we'll go to our Old and our New Testament lesson. These are just simple and quick things, but I think it's important to put in our minds before we probably could do it even before we even sing, really, because we sing the Psalms, but pretty good stuff to remember here. This is from John 6:63-65, and it teaches us that it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, giving life.
The flesh profiteth nothing.
The words that Christ speaks unto you,
they are spirit and they are life.
But there are some that do not believe.
For Jesus Christ knows from the beginning who they are that will not believe, and who shall betray them.
Therefore said he unto us,
that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
That is just the truth of the matter. We'll go to our Old Testament lesson now. We'll go to Leviticus chapter 2. It's a little bit of a dry read, I suppose. It's not very long, though, not horribly long, but this particularly deals with the meat offerings. And remembering that all offerings in Leviticus point to Christ, the Apostle Paul says that all of them have their amen in him and their fulfillment in him. And so you can always learn something about the tabernacle that is in heaven, that Christ now officiates at as high priest, according to the book of Hebrews, from what we were given to do on earth in times past. So there is always something to be learned. It's not a dead read. And it has something to teach us, even when it doesn't seem very important to us in this day. So this lesson is about the meat offerings. The King James word for meat is actually the word for flour or grain, bread, you know, what we make bread out of. It's not the word for flesh. Especially for the kids, should know that. It's not talking about flesh. That was the last chapter. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon.
And he shall bring it to Aaron's son, the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire.
If thou bring an oblation of a meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour, mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers, anointed with oil.
And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil.
Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering.
And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil.
And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar.
And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire.
No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire.
As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor.
And every oblation of the meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt.
And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits 3 ears of corn, dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of the whole ears.
And thou shalt put oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering.
And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
And right there is the end of the chapter. So if you'll notice some pertinent things, leaven wasn't allowed on the altar. Honey wasn't allowed on the altar. The sacrifices of meat offerings always had to be seasoned with salt. And so you have many, quote-unquote, New Testament references that we would notice out of the words of Jesus right there in some of the things that we are the salt of the world. So who is the salt of the sacrifice of Christ? You are. Christians are. So you can learn simple little things like that just from paying attention to obscure laws that nobody else reads. We're on the second half of Luke chapter 1. Having read Luke chapter 1 last week, going halfway through it. So then we'll be on Luke 2 next week, our New Testament lesson. And we ended at 38. And so we are now at the Mary going to Elizabeth to tell of what has happened to her on account of the coming of the angel and the Holy Spirit filling her womb. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill countries with haste into a city of Judah.
And entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth.
And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.
And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy.
And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit,
let's read it together.
And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent in the away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house.
Now, Elizabeth, this was the full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son.
And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her.
And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father.
And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John.
And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.
And they made signs to his father how he would have him called.
And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all.
And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spake, and he praised God.
And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill of the country of Judea.
And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him.
And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying,
Let's say it all together.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, and in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of the showing unto Israel.
We will end right there, and I don't think we need to explain too much of that. It's pretty straightforward. And you may be seated. It's amazing, though, how Mary, Elizabeth, and John Zacharias all has the same testimony as to what God was ready to accomplish. That's because they were filled with the same Spirit, one that gives life. Well, today we have two scriptures from Jeremiah 52. Which comes from what would be considered last Tuesday from a biblical calendar's perspective for our liturgy. And we also have Ezekiel 20, which is where our Bible study is going to come from. And so I'm just going to read to you Jeremiah 52, 12, and 13 real quick as one of the things to keep in mind. The first use of the date and then the second use of the date will be what we Bible study. Jeremiah 52, verse 12 through 13 says this, Now in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem. And he burned the house of Yahweh and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and all the houses of the great men burnt he with fire. And so if you would be alive in Jerusalem during the time, the 19th year of the reign, Nebuchadnezzar, he sent the captain, his general, so to speak, Nebuzaradan, who does all of his dirty work. And he came in and he destroyed the temple, burned it with fire, pulled down the walls, burned the king's palace, burned the so-called White House of the land, and or Buckingham Palace, or whatever you want to think of the great high place, the place where the king lived. And then what he did is he also decided to go to all the rich men in the land, anyone who had any great value, and he burned their houses down too to make a point. And so that is the first use of this date liturgically in Scripture that directs our minds to thinking about that destruction. And it's pretty interesting. This month has been filled with that concept. That's all we have heard about time and again is the destruction of Jerusalem.
the destruction of God's people for those reasons. And so if we were to go to Ezekiel 20, we're going to use this as our introductory text. This would be the second liturgical use of the date, which would happen after probably the seventh year of the captivity. So it's probably 7 years exactly after that happened, I would guess, but I can't be 100% sure of that.
Have our loose leaf handout. It goes to the second work of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 11. Hope this makes a lot more sense after what we've covered today. The work of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 11. Speech and preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is not of enticing words of man's wisdom,
but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect,
yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that comes to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory,
which none of the princes of this world knew.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
But as it is written,
I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
We'll save the other for next week. So that's why I'm going to hang on to that. So hopefully that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to have to sing Psalm 1, and then we'll go and have the Apostles' Creed go through that this month. As our mid-month confessional.
That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray, in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. He shall be like a tree that grows near, planted by a river, which in his season yields its fruit, and his leaf fadeth never. And all he does shall prosper well, the wicked are not so, but like they are unto the chaff, which wind drives to and fro. In judgment therefore shall not stand such as ungodly are, nor in the assembly of the just shall wicked men appear. For why the way of godly men unto the Lord is none, whereas the way wicked men shall quite be overthrown.
Pretty well demonstrated today, I'd say, in Ezekiel 20. Well, at the very back of that kind booklet, we have the Apostles' Creed, which, as it's written here, is an Apostles' Creed, so that we don't isolate it as some bygone thing. But if you are an apostle, this is our creed. It's one of the most simple things that the Christian faith holds in unity, while we all have very different, I don't say very like it, substance changes, but there's different ways in which it's stated. So, but nevertheless, it's one of the oldest creeds in the Christian church. So let's say it all together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy called-out community, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the flesh, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Christian, want to be able to have you pray today?
Yeah. Yahweh, we do just thank you for another day of your grace and mercy. We thank you that this is the day that you have made. Thank you for the rain that comes in due season, Lord. And just as the rain comes and bears fruit upon the earth, so does your word that goes out. Lord, I pray that we would not harden our hearts like the elders of Israel and that Ezekiel spoke to, but that we would humble ourselves before you and before your law. For the Lordship of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to abide in him that we may bear much fruit for your kingdom. And Lord, I pray for Brother Roger as he's about to go into another surgery. I pray that you'd help him, give him the peace of you. And pray that you'd bless the doctor's hands and give him a sound mind as he works on Roger's body. And pray that you'd bring healing and comfort to Roger through the fruits of the surgery. And God, I continue just to ask that you'd help us to love you more, love our neighbors more, and help us in our work, God, make us stronger, make our minds better, make our skill sets better. Please help us to just be a witness to our work, and to be a witness to our words, God. Help us not to be afraid of man, but to fear you. And speak the truth in love. Speak the gospel and the truths of your holy law. Just give us an abundance of boldness, God. And Lord, I would pray for the joy of the Lord, that we would have joy in you and joy in the work of our hands, and just as we go about throughout day to day. Increase the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, God. Just pray for the upcoming gatherings that we'll be having, dealing with the feast days and with family camps, God. Pray that you'd bless the organization, help us in the organization. Pray that you'd just bless the preaching that's going to be happening, help it to edify and encourage, and all the things that we'll encounter for people meeting each other, Lord. And Lord, just cause us to have more salt and more light in this world. Thank you for this food that we're about to eat. Thank you for the fruit of the earth. Help us to be thankful in the small things, God, to not take all the little blessings that you give us in life for granted, God. Make us, give us thankful hearts and thankful speeches, God. And do just bless your name. Thank you, Lord. And I ask these in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.